Good morning. Glad you're with us. And for all our visitors, I'm glad you're here today as well. I hope your time with us is encouraging, that you're built up and drawn closer to God. Just a little bit of a maybe news briefing about where we are as a church for our visitors. We're in the middle of a two-year study where we're overall aiming to more firmly grounded in the big picture purpose of what God's doing in the world. As I said before, God's purpose in the world in Jesus and his people. And so we're trying to see that overarching story, that overarching announcement of God's work. And to do that, we're doing a few things to try and ground us in that. The first is Bible reading. We're on our own at home. We're trying to read through the Bible over the course of 2 years. We're coming together as a church for our for a Bible class then on Sundays and Wednesdays, where we're walking through each book of the Bible. And then the third thing is I'm trying to connect some of my sermons to these things to draw out some observations as we go. This is another one of those lessons, particularly that relates to our studies recently as we finished up in Samuel. And so for those that were in the class, this will be a little bit of review. For those that weren't, this may be a little bit of new information. But one of the things we pointed out as we were studying through Samuel is the way that that story's told, as it focuses on the rise of the monarchy in Israel with all its twists and turns, is the narrative itself is framed by these series of poems at the beginning and the end. And in 1 Samuel 2 and 2 Samuel 22 and 23, we have these poems. The first is a prayer of Hannah. The second two are prayers or songs of David. We a few weeks ago, we looked at Hannah's prayer and walked through some of the themes there and talked about how those themes project into the story and provide the commentary for help us understand God's work in that story. Same thing's true in 2 Samuel 22 as well. This morning, what I'd like to do is walk through this prayer, this song in 2 Samuel 22. So let's start with verse 1. If you would open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel 22, and then hopefully you were given a handout on your way in. We'll come to those a little bit later. But I'd again like to walk through this psalm and then look at it from about three angles to kind of consider some application. But let's just notice the heading first in verse 1. David spoke the words of this song to Yahweh in the day that Yahweh delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so this sets the scene for what's going on. We don't know in terms of chronology exactly when this psalm was written, but we know because 21 through 24 of 2 Samuel is sort of an appendix and it's out of the sequence of the rest of the narrative. But this psalm's positioned here near the end as this sort of summary, this looking back that David had. We know that at least this is after the death of Saul. This is beyond probably some of the other victories that David won. But he's in this place of the victor. He's past suffering, past trouble, and now he's looking back on his experience to see that God was with him the whole time. God was helping him. God was saving him, rescuing him, equipping him for battle, and giving him the victory. And this song, is a reflection of that. Is a thanksgiving to God. Is a praise of God who was with him in all those things. So the perspective's quite different. There's psalms that we'll read through where David's right in the middle of it, and in those positions, it's tough to see past the what's going on right around you. This perspective is very different. David sees has a much bigger vantage point of his circumstances as he's on the other side. So what I'd like us to do first is we're going to just read this song. And I want to listen to this song as I read through this. And as I read, I want you to think particularly about the story of David. As we've just spent the last few weeks especially going through the story of David, I want you to think about his own experiences running from Saul, running from Saul's army, and even battles that might have followed after the death of Saul. But I want you to think about how this song speaks to David's experience. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. Fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also. He came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He appeared on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him. A mass of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. Yahweh thundered from the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of Yahweh at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But Yahweh was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he's recompensed me. For I've kept the ways of Yahweh and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and his statutes I did not turn from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness, my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind, you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. With the perverted, you show yourself astute. And you save an afflicted people. But your eyes are on the haughty whom you abase. For you are my lamp, O Yahweh. And Yahweh illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of Yahweh is tested. He's a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides Yahweh? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me on high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've given me the shield of your salvation. Your help makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I've devoured them and shattered them so they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You've subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You have also delivered me from the contentions of my people. You've kept me as the head of the nations. A people whom I've not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God of my salvation. For God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also can bring me out from my enemies, you even lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I'll give thanks to you, O Yahweh, among the nations. I'll sing praises to your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. And so again, as we picture the circumstances of David, and I hope for those that particularly that were in the class, as we're reading through those, you're hearing echoes of Hannah's prayer in there, particularly God's eye on the humble and the afflicted and how he lifts those up. And so you can see the symmetry in the book and how that all connects. That aside, but as we're reading through that, seeing the story of David, the experience of David in that, and if you look at the first few verses of that prayer. And think particularly about when David's on the run from Saul, where he's out in the wilderness and he's hiding up in the caves. He's going up to the tops of the rocks for safety and refuge. What he's saying is, it wasn't the rock, it wasn't the cave, it wasn't the army. That was you, God. You are my rock. You are my refuge. You are my shield. I mean, you think about how important these things were to David as this warrior, the strategy, the defense, and all that. He's saying, no, it was God, and he's praising God. You are my, and notice how personalized this is. You are my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my shield. In verses, and then in verse 4, he says, I call upon the Lord. I call upon the Lord. And I'm saved. And the only thing in between that call and that salvation is just this break he takes to say, he is worthy of all praise. And I want you to just think about that verse. And I want you to think about it, especially from what I said a moment ago, in regards to how our perspective changes depending on where we are in the middle of something. When we're in the middle of trouble and trial and pain and suffering and all this stuff, seems like we're never going to get out of it. In fact, I forgot to mention this as well. This particular song is also recorded in the book of Psalms, as Psalm 18. But if we were there looking at it, you could turn one page and look at Psalm 22, and it would say, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. I cry by day, but there's no answer, and by night, but I have no rest. And the point is, in the middle of it, it seems like, man, you know, might as well be on the other side of the world where my help is. But now as David is in the place of the victor, he's been brought safely through, he looks back on his situation, he said, I just cried out to God. And he answered me. He helped me. He saved me. Verses 5 through 7, he describes his situation. He uses this imagery of someone drowning and at the same time people trying to rope him and drag him under. And so he's drowning, flailing for his life. And if you notice though in verse 7, in that distress, in my distress, I called, I cried, and there in his temple he heard my voice. And what follows is the response to that prayer. So I want you to picture the scene, right? So here's this child of God who's in this dangerous life and death, intense situation, and in that distress, he cries out to God, and what he goes on to describe is the response to that prayer, the response to that cry. You see in verse 8, the earth shook and quaked, the foundations were trembling. Verse 9, smoke went up, fire, coals, the heavens are bowed down in verse 10, darkness in verse 12, you see coals again in verse 13, thunder in verse 14. All this incredible imagery, right? You take the most epic scenes from the Bible story so far. You think about creation, you think about the flood, you think about the Red Sea, you think about Mount Sinai, and all these just epic scenes in which God is at work in the world in this dramatic display, and David's taking all that imagery and saying, that's what happened when I cried out to God. That's the power of God that was at my disposal that responded to my prayer, to my cry for help. We talked about this in class a few weeks ago, but you think about this in light of the David story, and you think back, man, when did we ever see this happen in 1 and 2 Samuel? It's like, it wasn't there, right? There was no earthquake when David cried for help. There was no lightning bolts or thunder or anything like this. But it was David running up one side of the mountain and Saul about to seize him, when Saul suddenly gets a message that says the Philistines are attacking in the valley. That was God's power to save. Or it was Saul hurling a spear at David to kill him, and that spear just happened to miss him. Or just how many scenes in throughout the narrative, or you think about what happened when David was living that lie for 16 months, and then all of a sudden he gets back to Ziklag, and if things couldn't be worse, he comes in the city where all their wives and their children are, all their stuff, the city's on fire and their family's gone, and then his men who've been with him throughout all this, they're ready to stone him. And it's like, you can't get lower than that. Yet it says there in 1 Samuel 20, or 30, verse 6, something around there, it says, he strengthened himself in the Lord. It's those moments that he's saying, this is what God was doing. It didn't literally look like this, but this is the real power that was reacting and responding. And so with all that fanfare, says God reached out, lifted him up, drew him out of the water, and saved him. And then we get to verses 21 through 30 and we see why. Because I'm righteous. I'm blameless. I've walked with Him. I've been His man. Right? David was with God every step of the way, and God was with him. And he recognizes this is how God works. He's with those who are with Him. He's there to help and save His people. And so he explains that in those verses. But then we get to 31 through 46, and the perspective changes. So that first sort of scene of deliverance that was described in the earlier part of this psalm, that was God coming in to save, God swooping in to rescue and deliver. And David was just pictured as the one who's being lifted up out of the water. The perspective changes as he describes the victory from another angle, beginning in verse 31. And you look at what's going on here, like verse 34, for example. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on high places. You know, think about like deer or gazelle running through their agility. He says, God gave me that ability to run and escape and get away. Verse 35, He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've given me the shield of your salvation. Verse 39, now I have devoured them and shattered them so they did not rise. Verse 40, you've girded me with strength for battle. You subdued under me those who rose up against me. Down in verse 43, then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed them. And notice how much more active David is in this, right? Because from one angle, God's saving him, God's rescuing him, God's delivering him. From another angle, God's equipping him for this battle and strengthening him for the fight that he was in the middle of, and giving him this victory, equipping him for that victory. And then the song closes in verse 47 with another statement of praise. So it began with this just declaration of praise, and it ends with this declaration of praise. Yahweh lives, blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation, who executes vengeance, who brings down peoples under me, who brings me out of my enemies, lifts me up above those who rise up against me. You rescue me, and I will give thanks. I will give praise, and God is with me. And so you think through that. Can you see the life of David? Can you see the experiences of David in that psalm? I mean, what a perfect recap. So I want to set that down for just a second and sidestep for just a moment. As a family, we've been listening to this audiobook the last few weeks. It's called The Green Ember, and it's part of a series, but it's this like little kids' fantasy story. It's about like kingdoms, and it's stories of good versus evil, and heroes and courage, and people learning to stand up and be brave and sort of come into their own. And so it's a really, really good story. So we got through it, and we get close to the end, and there's this like epic surprise at the end of it, right? Where we're hearing it, and we're like, oh, that's so cool. That's awesome. Great. So we finish it, and it ends with that sort of surprising note. So I've been a part of this or whatever, but I know Chelsea and the kids have started listening to it again. And you go through it the second time knowing the ending, right? Knowing the surprise twist at the end. And all of a sudden, things that you were hearing all along, you're like, oh man, okay, that's so cool. I didn't, you know, like you hear it in new light when you know how the story ends. The Bible's a lot like that. Once you know how the story ends, once you know where it's all going and how God chose to wrap this up, and once you know that big reveal, that big surprise, you read from the beginning with greater insight. Right? You just see things. You're like, oh, wow, that's what that was about. You know, and that's what was going on there. So much like those stories, you see those same things, except with the Bible, you've got a much more complex collection of those stories that all feed this larger story, and a collection of poems and prophecies and promises and laws and proverbs and letters and all these different things, and all these things in a much more complicated way fit together to tell and reveal that story. And so sometimes we miss the unity of the collection and forget to read in light of that larger whole. But we need to do that. And so what we see with the early Christians is after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after they got that sort of twisted, that revealed twist at the end, they went back to the law and the prophets and the writings and were like, wow, you know, it came alive in new ways. The earliest Christians began to read and study and proclaim the law and the prophets in new light. in the light, particularly in the light of the death and resurrection, the life and the work of Jesus, Messiah. And so, like rereading a book when you understand the ending, the early Christians began to read and reread those Law and the Prophets to see the many and multifaceted ways in which the Scriptures connect to Jesus, right? And we'll see the same thing here with 2 Samuel 22 or Psalm 18, what we just read. In fact, Paul will quote verse 50 of 2 Samuel 22. It's verse 49 of Psalm 18. He'll quote that in Romans 15 and said, this is what the Messiah said, right? So they're going back and they're reading that, and all of a sudden they're seeing the Messiah, they're seeing His work, seeing His life, hearing His voice in these things, where if we just read it without knowing how it's going to end, we just sort of kind of see things as we go. So what I'd like to do now is go back to 2 Samuel 22, and I'd like to read it again. But this time as we read, I want us to think about this from the perspective of Jesus, Messiah. And I want you to hear His story in this and think through His story, particularly think about Him on the other side of resurrection, right? He's gone through life. He's gone through temptation. He's gone through struggles. He's gone through assault by Satan. He's gone through death, and He's come out victorious in the resurrection. So we read this. I want you to think about that storyline as we read this again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me, the torrents of destruction overwhelm me, the cords of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. Yes, I cried to my God, and from His temple, He heard my voice. And my cry for help came into His ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the heaven were trembling and were shaken because He was angry. Smoke went up out of His nostrils. Fire from His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and flew. He appeared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around Him, a mass of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before Him, coals of fire were kindled. Yahweh thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered His voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of Yahweh at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He's recompensed me. For I have not kept the ways of Yahweh. I have not acted wickedly against my God. For all His ordinances were before me. As for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless towards Him. I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness, my cleanness before His eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless, with the pure you show yourself pure, with the perverted you show yourself astute. And you save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you abase. For you are my lamp, O Yahweh, and Yahweh illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of Yahweh is tested. He's a shield to all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides Yahweh? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and He sets the blameless in His way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me on my high places. He trains my hand for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've also given me the shield of your salvation. Your help makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. And I've devoured them and shattered them, so they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You've subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also made my enemies turn their backs towards me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to Yahweh, but he did not answer them. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You've also delivered me from the contentions of my people. You've kept me as head of nations. People whom I have not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out of my enemies. You even lift me up above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He's a tower of deliverance to his king, to show loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his seed forever. Do you see Jesus in that prayer now? And in fact, some of the things that David says there fit Jesus a whole lot more fully than they could ever fit David's life and David's story. Can you see the same points about David's victories and David's battle fulfilled in the life and the death and the resurrection and the reign of Jesus, right? Any of those points on in terms of his life, you can step in and see this song. And so what we have here is this poetic, figurative imagery describing Christ's victory over the powers of darkness. And we understand Jesus did not defeat Satan by literally bending a bow of bronze and literally pulverizing them to dust in the field of battle. What we see when we actually see how the story ends is Jesus defeated through selfless giving, through humility, through laying down his life, through love. But it's this imagery of salvation and battle is helping us understand the spiritual reality, the spiritual conflict that was going on behind the scenes when Jesus died on the cross. In fact, Logan read Revelation 5 for us today, which talks about Jesus as a fulfillment. That's the same kind of imagery, right? Who is worthy? Behold, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he is overcome. He is worthy, right? It's that same kind of military imagery, but talking about what Jesus did in the cross. And again, Romans 15, Paul quotes verse 50 in this series of quotes. He pulls from the other passages in the Law and the Prophets and describes it as the Messiah himself speaking. He just quotes verse 50. It says, "Therefore I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I'll sing praises to your name." And with this quote, what Paul's doing in context, he's emphasizing God's purpose for all people, for all humanity, people from every tribe, tongue, people, nation, to glorify God with one voice in one body. And what we understand is that it's the death of Jesus that made it possible for this single, multi-ethnic, multicultural family to come together to glorify God. It was Christ's victory over the death that made that possible. So again, when we read and reread 2 Samuel 22, we see David, but we see Jesus. But one other layer of this that I want us to think about is we realize what happened with the death and resurrection of Jesus wasn't the end of the story, right? It's the climax, right? This is the big reveal, the big turn. The story still goes. And we're actually called to step into that story and play our part as well. And so I want us to think about ourselves now as stepping into 2 Samuel 22 and seeing how this applies to us and speaks to our story as well. And so for this, I would like you to pull out the handout. And what I'd like us to try to do is read through this out loud together. So instead of just me reading up here by myself, I'd like us to all read this. And so I don't have the ability to direct this musically, right? That'd be cool if we knew like the ancient tune that this was struck to. So we'll kind of read this together, and it'll probably sound kind of chant-like, I imagine. I'd like us to read through it kind of slowly so that we can be meditative in this and really think about it. If you notice, I sort of typed this out and tried to capture the poetic line So what we'll do is we'll try to just read through a line. That'll be our opportunity to take a breath and read the next line. So that'll set the pace and the tempo for us to read through this together. But as we read this, I'd like us to think about this in light of our experience and our story in mind. All right? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice. And my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. Fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode on a cherub and flew. And he appeared on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him, a mass of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and his statutes I did not depart from them. I was also blameless towards him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless, with the pure you show yourself pure, with the perverted you show yourself astute, and you save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you abase. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness, for by you I can run upon a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He's a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me on my high places. He trains my hand for battle, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your help makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. And I have devoured them and shattered them so that they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You also delivered me from the contentions of my people. You've kept me as head of the nations. a people whom I've not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out from my enemies. You even lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. So I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king, shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Can you see yourself in that prayer? Can you see your own experiences? Can you see the people of God as a whole in that prayer? Can you see God saving us from our enemies? Can you see God giving us victory over our enemies? Can you read through that and see victory over sin or victory over temptation or the destruction of stumbling blocks? I closed my Bible. I'm not going to be able to find it on this sheet. But you think particularly about, I mean, you listen to this line, I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed, I stamped them as the mire of the street. I mean, picture sin in your mind as you read that. Think about what God wants us to do in regards to stumbling blocks and sin. He wants to pulverize them, beat us down and give us, beat them down and give us that victory. Can you see God walking with us and helping us and walk as we walk with Him and live for Him? Can you see, particularly in light of how Paul applied the end of this and the idea of giving thanks among the nations, can you see us as a people breaking down walls of racism and hate, joining with image bearers all over the world from every tribe and tongue and people and nation to praise God and glorify God with one voice in one body? Again, we're not in a physical battle, so we don't read through this and think literally this imagery like David may have, but we're in a real battle. And though Paul doesn't quote this psalm directly, the idea that's painted here is very much a part of what he says in Ephesians 6. I want you to listen to this. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist the devil." So you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of truth. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." Again, we're in a battle every day. Too many don't realize it. Others are painfully aware of it. But be strong. Be alert. Gear up. Fight. Right? That's what Paul's urging us to do. And that's the spirit of this song we just read. And if you're in the middle of it, if you look around, you're like, man, there's enemies all around. I'm in the thick of the battle right now. If you're in the middle of it, take comfort in this song of David, who brought safely through. Know there's light and there's victory in the Lord for those who are with Him and those who walk with Him. And if you're maybe in the place where David was when he wrote this song, you've already experienced some measure of victory and you're able to look back over a really rough period in life, praise God. Join in David then in giving this song of thanksgiving and this psalm of praise. Look back and see God's hand to help and to save and to rescue and to equip you for the battle that you're in. And let that period of looking back and reflection, let that strengthen you for the next one, right? Because we're going to keep fighting until He returns. And so let whatever victory you've been given, let that strengthen your faith for the next battle. But in all things, look to Jesus and fix your eyes on him, as the Hebrew writer encourages us to do. Fix your eyes on Jesus and recognize the victory that he's won, the victory he's gained, and find strength in that, find encouragement in that, find peace and rest in that, and realize that because of him, we can have victory. I mean, without that, it would all be vain and we'd just be spinning our wheels forever. But because of the victory that he has, we can actually dig in and fight. But don't let Satan distract you. Don't let Satan beat you. One of the things I love to say when we're walking through Revelation is don't lose to a loser. Because one of the things you see throughout Revelation is, as big and bad and scary and harsh as what Satan throws at us is, he's going down. He's losing. There's no hope for him. And so let's not give in to whatever he's throwing at you. He wants to win your heart. And every temptation, every sin, he's trying to just get a little bit more control of your heart to steal away your affections, steal away your loyalty from the one who deserves it all. And so don't give in. Don't let him have any foothold, any grasp on you. Trust in Jesus. Turn to him. And if there's sin, as we talked about last week through the other aspect of some of David's songs, if there's sin in your life, confess it. Get it in the light. Don't let darkness continue to hide it. Confess your sin, and God will forgive you. John makes us certain of that, that God will forgive us if we confess our sins, and then walk with him and trust in him. And if you need help, let's rally around each other and let's talk together and pray together and do what we can to encourage and stir each other up. But in all things, let's walk with the Lord and then let's celebrate and praise him for the victory that he gives us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I praise you. You are worthy of praise. We call on you and you save us from our enemies. You have given us so much help in Jesus. You've given him victory over sin and over death and over Satan. And in him, you give us that same victory to lift us up when we're drowning and dying and we cry out in distress and you rescue us. And then you send us into the battle and you give us strength, and you equip us, and you give us armor, and we fight in the strength that you provide. And I pray that we'll trust in you, and that we'll not let our guard down and not be distracted and give in to the foolish sin that's all around us and the temptations that too often get hold of our hearts. But may our hearts be purely, wholly devoted to you. And may we be like Jesus and embody his message of love and humility and generosity, compassion, strength for what is right. Help us to always want to do what's right. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to be a support to each other and be people who are just overflowing with grace towards one another and grace for the lost, to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you would, take out your songbooks to number 15. As Alex said, this song ties in to this particular psalm we've been looking at, the opening line, "I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies." If you need help in any way, if you need prayers, if there's sin that you need to confess and give us opportunity to come alongside and pray for you that you may be healed, we want to do that as well. Understand it's not that this is just the only time or this special time that you can let us know, but we do reserve this time for you to let us know if there's anything we can do. And if you're ready to put on Christ and be buried with him in baptism and raised to live that new life, turning from a life in the world to a life in the Lord, we want to help you with that. If there's anything we can do, please let us know as we stand and sing.